From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled The Model Prayer, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, A Name Guarantee. The text is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 13, a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It is not every believer who has yet learned to pray in Christ's name. To ask not only for His sake, but in His name, as authorized by Him, is a high order of prayer. We would not dare to ask for some things in that blessed name, for it would be a wretched profanation of it. But when the petition is so clearly right that we dare set the name of Jesus to it, then it must be granted. Prayer is all the more sure to succeed because it is for the Father's glory through the Son. It glorifies His truth, His faithfulness, His power, His grace. The granting of prayer, when offered in the name of Jesus, reveals the Father's love to Him and the honor which He has put upon Him. The glory of Jesus and of the Father are so wrapped up together that the grace which magnifies the one magnifies the other. The channel is made famous through the fullness of the fountain, and the fountain is honored through the channel by which it flows. If the answering of our prayers would dishonor our Lord, we would not pray. But since in this thing He is glorified, we will pray without ceasing in that dear name in which God and His people have a fellowship of delight.
Jesus, ruler of all.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. In the course of these messages dealing with the matter of prayer, Dr. Cairns has defined from Scripture the nature of true prayer, emphasizing the need for personal, private prayer. He has set forth the kind of praying that God will answer and reminded us that God knows our most urgent needs. Today, he comes to the heart of the series as he begins to deal with what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, those matchless instructions for prayer which the Lord Jesus himself set forth. Taking the words of the prayer as found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, Dr. Cairns begins this part of the series by explaining the structure of the model prayer.
Now then, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 5, once again. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We finish the reading in verse 13. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his own name's sake. How we pray depends very largely on how well we learn the lessons the Savior teaches us in verses 5 through 8 of this passage of Scripture. Now, I'm not going to spend time again on those verses. We have spent about 6 Sabbath mornings considering them together. But we may recollect that in them the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that we should not pray like hypocrites. And then he tells us that we should not pray like heathens. And unfortunately, it's very possible for professing Christians to pray both like hypocrites and like heathens. The Savior warns us against that. He warns us that we should pray without ostentation, without calling attention to our secret devotions with God. He tells us that we ought to get alone with God, go to the closet, shut to the door, and seek true communion with our Father who is in secret and who sees in secret. Now, with all this in mind, the Lord Jesus goes on to say in verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Therefore, in the light of all that I have said, pray like this. And he goes on to give us what we generally call the Lord's Prayer. If you want to know how to pray, then here's the answer. If you want to know what to pray, here's the answer. And if you want to know why to pray, then this prayer gives us the answer. For what you have here is a pattern for all our praying. The Lord Jesus Christ very clearly intended that it would be so. The more I look at the Lord's Prayer, the more I'm convinced that in many ways it covers all the ground that we ever need to cover in prayer. Now, obviously not exhaustively. By that I mean it doesn't actually spell out every petition, every word that we will ever need to pray. But it covers the ground entirely suggestively. In other words, it introduces us to categories of praying. It introduces us to great tracts of thought in prayer that, properly understood, will cover all our earthly experience. That means that no matter how well we know the Lord's Prayer, we really haven't begun to learn it at all. It means however much we have entered into the Lord's Prayer, there are infinite depths in it which we yet must plumb. This is a prayer that will repay a lifetime of study. Now it starts with the words, Our Father. And that fact tells us immediately that this is a prayer that is peculiarly a prayer for the children of God. I think that's obvious. It's a prayer for the children of God. I don't want to digress too much on this point this morning. But as I was sitting in the pew today during the first part of the service and my mind was going over the first part of the Lord's Prayer again, I thought that only God's children, those born of a Spirit rightly related to Him through Jesus Christ, have any access to God. That until a person comes to be a child of God, he's shut out of the throne room. He's shut out from the throne of grace. He has no access to the mercy seat, no solace in the time of great need. There are some people here this morning, and you have learned to sing the praises of God. You have even learned to say the words of the Lord's Prayer, and yet because you've never become a child of God, you're yet shut out from His presence, and you can't even begin to lisp the simplest prayer for help, for blessing, for guidance, for grace. Now, that is not to say that God never hears a cry of an ungodly man. That would be unscriptural and untrue, for the grace of God is so much greater than we ever deserve. But it is to say that there are many of you who are living in a world of great trouble, great trial, and when trouble hits you, you'll be reaching for every straw. You'll be turning in every direction. You'll be trying every available means to bring some solace to your soul. And yet, because of the wicked, stubborn impenitence of your heart in rejecting the offer of the grace of God in the gospel, you are not a child of God, and you cannot reach out and touch Him. I was just reading this morning in my private times in the study before I came that great 48th Psalm. I hope maybe not too distantly in the future I'll get to preach a bit in that psalm if the Lord will allow it. Such a wonderful psalm. But the psalmist went down the magnificent works of God on behalf of His people. Then he said, this God is our God. What a testimony. Not just to be able to say the words of the Lord's Prayer, but to be able honestly to say, this Father is my Father. This God is my God. And this prayer is my prayer. I would trust this morning that you'll linger no longer outside the pale of mercy, but flee to Christ to become a child of God and enter into this glorious fellowship with the Father, the Savior is indicating in this prayer. It is a prayer for the children of God. Now, I think that's so obvious that it comes as a shock when we realize that there are many who refuse this prayer any place at all in Christian worship, whether public or private. There are many dispensationalists. Some dispensationalists would say they are extreme dispensationalists or hyper-dispensationalists. I will leave that theological camp to fight its own internal battles. But I will say that they will not allow this prayer to be prayed. I know of a very eminent Plymouth Brethren evangelist in the United Kingdom. He's now operating in North America. Who would not permit his children even to be taught the words of the Lord's Prayer. Would not allow them ever to say the words of the Lord's Prayer. Because, said he, this does not belong to the Church of Christ. These people tell us first there is no mention here of praying in the name of Christ. Therefore, this is not Christian praying. And they say it is praying on the ground of law, not of grace, because the prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is law, not grace. Those are the objections. And I'm glad to tell you that there is absolutely no merit in either one of them. As to the first, that this is not a prayer in the name of Christ, remember what I said, the pattern here is not exhaustive, but suggestive. The Lord Jesus left the full teaching of what it is to pray in His name until the time when the disciples could benefit from it, and He left it until the end of His ministry. But when we think of praying in the name of Christ, what does that mean? It means many things, but one of those things is we pray on the authority of Christ. And certainly when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying it by the explicit authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only so, but when we say, address God as Father, notice we say not my Father, but our Father. Christian never stands alone before God. Never. In the most isolated position in the world, he always is in fellowship with the Son of God, and it is here in seed form, set before us, the great truth of praying in union with Christ, and therefore on His merit. So there's no real ground to the first objection. The second objection is even further from the truth. We are told that we shouldn't pray this prayer because when we ask for forgiveness in the words of Christ, we're asking on the ground of law, not grace. You know, if it weren't for the fact that Christians are often better than their stated theology, I would write that off as arrant, arrogant blasphemy. Stop and think of what it's saying. It's saying that Christ was teaching people to pray for forgiveness on the ground and merit of their own forgiving spirit. Now, you've only got to state this to realize that it is utter nonsense. There never was a time when God forgave people on the ground of law. There never was a time when God forgave any man his sins because of that man's personal legal obedience. Forgiveness has always been on the ground of grace, and always through the covenant of grace that is subsumed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and is executed through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pardon has always been on the ground of grace. So the Lord Jesus is not teaching us some legal prayer. He is not teaching us a prayer that is unchristian. When you stop to think of it, the very idea is preposterous that the Christ is teaching his disciples to pray an unchristian prayer. The idea is nonsense. This is a model prayer that does not belong to some other dispensation, but to the people of God in all ages. It's a model prayer, and it's for use by God's people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.